Today's daf in Masechet Sotah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Chaf. We said that we did get to the bottom, but we do want to just do a brief review because of the complexity of the issues that we had yesterday. So what we had, remember, was three separate psukim. I should again stress that when I say three separate psukim, it's really three separate groups of psukim. And I hope you've had a chance to look over the Parshas Nasai to be able to see it inside. So once again, the first pasuk has us following the Amen, Amen that the woman says. It says right away, V'katavet ha'alot ha'el ha'kohen b'sefer mochal me'amarim v'ishkat ha'isha, which implies there's nothing to do with a mincha in between. We simply go right ahead. She says Amen, Amen, and we give her the water to drink. The next pasuk, however, says, V'lakach ha'kohen miyad ha'ishat minchat ha'kena'ot, v'edif et ha'mincha, v'kamatz min ha'mincha, v'iktir ha'mizbech, v'yachar, yashket ha'shat ha'mayim, which seems to say that only after bringing the mincha do we give the water to her to drink. And then the next pasuk says, once again, v'hishka et ha'mayim, v'aytayim nitma'ah, et so on and so forth. So the question is, how exactly do we explain these three psukim? So we had what is essentially a two-way machlokas, but three different shitas, because there were some minor issues that are different, even mahalacha between them. So we had the Tanakhama of the Mishnah learning that, look, the first pasuk says, Vishka Taisha, and that obviously is the main mitzvah. And that's where we learn that the Hashkaya was immediately before bringing the Mincha. The bringing of the Mincha is what the next pasuk says. That's how the Tanakhama understands it. So why did it say before? Why does it say afterwards that V'achar Yishkatam Etayishkatamayim? Why is that? That's because it's coming to tell me a Chiddush, that there needs to be a total bechika. So achar means after everything. Don't leave even a slight roshem that is nikar, and that way it won't be a complete mechika. That's how the Tanakhama understands it. Why does it say at the end, once again, v'yishka? That, according to the Tanakhama, tells us that in the event that you already did the mechika, and now she doesn't want to drink, if she says, I'm Tmei'ah, so then fine. Obviously, there's nothing to do with it, because the Meisotah is not there in order to punish her. It's there in order to be Mevarer. If she says, I'm Tmei'ah, then that's it. But if she says, I'm not Tmei'ah, but I refuse to drink this stuff, we force open her mouth and we make her drink. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says, look, the Torah says, V'achar yishkat yishat ha'mayim. I mean, so how in the world can you understand that's not the Seder Hadvarim? So the main chiyuv is from the second pasuk. The second pasuk that tells us when to do it. Bring the mincha, v'achar yishka. The first pasuk is to tell me that bidi avad, if it were done before the akravas ha-mincha, then it will still work, the water, even though she drank it before the mincha. But, I mean, we have to wait for it to work till after we bring the mincha. But Lamaisa, it's still considered to be a proper Hashkaya. That's the way Rabbi Shimon learned it. And he also understands, the same way the Tanakhama, that from the final pasuk that repeats Vishka, that's coming to tell me the same thing, that once we already did the Mechika, then we're going to force her to drink. Thing is, though, that there's a big nafkamina between the understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Because according to the Tanakhama, the normal way that we would do the Mechika would be after the Hashkaya. Would be before we bring the Mincha, because we have to do the Hashkaya before the Mincha. So then when the Pasuk at the end says, if we already did the Mechika, we force her, it would mean even when that Mechika was done, before the Akravas HaMincha, correct? Because that's the right time. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Shimon, the right time is to do the mechika only after there was the Akravas HaKometz. And therefore, if it were done before, so then she can taina, so to speak. In other words, we understand that, well, the mechika wasn't done for me because it wasn't done properly. So therefore, we will not force her to drink unless it was actually done properly, which, according to Rabbi Shimon, means it was done after we already had done the kmitza, the mincha, and the mincha was kosher. So even though, in terms of the seder of the psukim, he agrees that the last pasuk means the same thing that Tanakhama does, lahalocha, it turns out that it's not quite the same, because of the machlokas about the order of the first two psukim. Rabbi Akiva's shita was that the first pasuk is only coming to tell me that machak vishka, in the event that that kohen did the mechika, even if he did it early, because as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Akiva agrees that actually we're supposed to first do that gravas hamincha, then the mechika, then the hashkai. So if that's the case, you would think that Rabbi Akiva would agree with Rabbi Shimon about this too, that we're only going to force her to drink in the event that the mechika was done lahalacha, which, according to Rabbi Akiva, should also mean only after the kometz of the mincha was korev. But since, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's the whole point of the first pasuk, which says mochak v'shata, that is to say that once you do a mechika, even at that early point, before the correct time, then we're going to force her to drink it, unless she says, of course, that she is Temeya. And we learned yesterday that Aliyah ben Rabbi Akiva, the only time that we would do that is if she's showing signs of tremendous psychological distress. But if she is cool and she's saying, I'm not going to drink, so then we understand that to be an admission of adultery. And therefore, Aliyah ben Rabbi Akiva, it would be the same as if she said Temeya ani. So we wouldn't make her drink for another reason. But what the pasuk is saying is that in the event that she's frightened to drink, then even if the mechika was done early, once the mechika is done, we will make her drink. Okay, so it's a different approach. The first pasuk, Aliyah ben Rabbi Akiva, even though he agrees with Rabbi Shimon about the Seder, he holds that the first pasuk is not coming to tell me the halacha that b'diavad is kosher. The first pasuk is coming to tell me that the mechika, even at an early point, forces her to drink. And the closing pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva, basically is that the vehishka is meant to be after bakravas hamincha. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the main chiyuv is the last pasuk. According to Rabbi Shimon, the main chiyuv is the next to the last pasuk. According to the Chachomim, the main chiyuv is the opening pasuk. So it's a fascinating scale over here. And the halakha differences, of course, could be major, whether they're supposed to do the kmitza and then the hashkaya, and they could be minor as well. Namely, the difference between when the mechika took place and her refusal, which would cause us to force her to drink. So that's a brief review of the sugya we had yesterday, putting it all into a very simple, clear-cut way of seeing things. Anyway, what we saw yesterday at the end of the sugya was that Aliyah ben Rabbi Akiva, we first analyze the situation on its face as to what's going on. If she's showing signs of psychological distress, she's trembling, she's very nervous, then we do not take her refusal to drink as being the equivalent of admitting that she was mizana. If, however, we don't see any signs, so then we assume that the same thing as saying that I was temeah. Now, what about in the case where we see that she's definitely scared, and therefore we don't take it to be an admission of znus? Then we have a stira, because in one brisa, Rabbi Akiva says that if already we had been mochek the mayim, then we're going to force her to drink, right? That was the first thing that Rabbi Akiva said. The problem was, in the last brisa that we brought yesterday, what he said was, it depends whether you brought the komets of the mincha. He doesn't say whether the mechika took place. Now, that is a different problem, and that's a contradiction that has nothing to do with analyzing her psychological state. Both of those brisas, we explained yesterday, is referring to where she was distraught. Okay, so today, at the top of Daf Chof, we point out the contradiction in the brises. Asks the Gemara, Kasha de Rabbi Akiva, de Rabbi Akiva. The first shot that we had in Rabbi Akiva in the Braita, Hasam Omar, Mechika Ma'akva. It depends if the Mechika took place, we force her to drink. If the Mechika had not yet taken place, then we won't force her to drink. But in the second Braita, that's not what it says. What he says in the second Braita is that if the Mechika was done after the Akravas HaKometz, then we force her. But if the Mechika was done before, we don't force her. Now, according to that Braita, Rabbi Akiva is essentially agreeing with Rabbi Shimon about the timing of the Mechika as well, you see. So how do we explain that contradiction? We don't, says the Gemara. That is a contradiction. And in fact, there were trei tanoi aliba de Rabbi Akiva. So that means that there must have been two different understandings of what Rabbi Akiva had said. Maybe said things at a different point. But anyway, there were two tanoim in his Beis HaMedrash that presented his shita in different ways. According to one, the first pasuk was coming to tell me, even if the mechika was done early, and therefore he argued with Rabbi Shimon about that detail. And according to the other, he agreed with Rabbi Shimon even in that detail. Okay. Now, the question is like this. We said that Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, if she seems to be cool, doesn't show signs of psychological distress, then if she says, I am not going to drink, we understand that to mean I am admitting that I'm guilty. She just doesn't want to say it. So we pointed out it's very much like the modern plea bargaining thing where the guy says, I'm definitely not guilty, so I'll only serve 20 years in prison. Okay, fine. I mean, this is basically what she's saying, Tainus Rabbi Akiva. So now the question is like this. How fully do we rely on these psychological symptoms? So Iboilu, suppose she was talking from a state of apparent non-distress. She's speaking very coolly, which we call Mahmad Briyuta, remember? So Iboilu, suppose she initially had said, listen, no way you're going to get me to drink that stuff, but she doesn't seem to be distraught, which according to Rabbi Akiva means that I admit that I'm guilty. And then she changes her mind and says, you know what? I've decided I am going to drink. So do we say that Kivan de Amra Enishota, since according to Rabbi Akiva, saying that I'm not going to drink is the equivalent of Tmeya Ani Kamra, and once she is Maida that she was Tmeya Ani, Kivan de Asik Nafsha Betuma, Lo Matzi Hadrapa, she can't take it back and say, I've decided to commit suicide by drinking. Oh, Dilma Kivan de Amra Shotani, or maybe, since now she's changed her mind and she says, well, I'm ready to drink. So then that shows that this was a gradual understanding that she doesn't have to be terrified. And the fact that she said it coolly only meant that she's just a cool girl. But it doesn't mean that she wasn't agitated. You just didn't discern her agitation. How do we look at that? Galia Daita. So now we see that what it was that she had said before was actually under duress. And Machmad Biyituta Huda Amra. So how much is Rabbi Akiva convinced that you can analyze from her apparent state, we can analyze her internal state? Take that. We don't really know how far Rabbi Akiva was willing to go on that. Omar Avua de Shmuel, Tzorich Yitain Mar L'toch HaMayim. The Kohen has to also put bitters into the water, that the water should be literally bitter. My time, the Omar Kra, Mei HaMarim. So now the point is that since it says in the pasuk, "Vikatavta alota ela akohim b'sefer umacha el meha marim." So, okay, you could say that you put it into the meha marim because at the time that you're putting it in, you're making them bitter, meaning psychologically bitter. In other words, these are the waters that are going to kill her. So that's why we would call it meha marim. But the problem is, gentlemen, the Sadi Ibn Ezra understands it. The problem is that the word may does not mean just water. The word may is a smichut, and it means the waters which are, right? But if it means the waters which are, then it should not say may hamarim. It should say may marim, because the hay messes up the smichut. So if it says may hamarim, then that is coming to tell me that it's not that this is the moment that makes it the may marim. It's that these are mayim which contain those bitters. That's the point. In which case, there must be bitters in the mayim. That's how the Ibn Ezra explains it, which is very, very interesting in terms of the grammar. It's very, very convincing drasha. So it must mean shemarim kvar. They must have been filled with bitters before. You know, there's an amazing question here, which has absolutely become one of these, you know, what they used to be, this television program, the $64,000 question, when $64,000 actually meant more than your local supermarket bill. Well, the big question, and this was like just two generations ago, the big question was, if the din over here is that the sota is considered to be the ba'alim, right? And she has to do the tenufa, because we learned out from the pasuk that the ba'alim does the tenufa. This is a brilliant question. So according to the shita, we have this big machlokas in Zvachim. Can the ba'alim be mefagel? So if the ba'alim hasn't kavana to eat the carbon outside of the right time, he's not doing the avoda. The kohen was doing the avoda. So there's a shita that holds that the ba'alim can be mefaglim. Now, since the sota is the ba'alim, if you hold that the entire thing is pasul, if the mincha wasn't brought, right, which is the shita of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, so then why can't the woman simply have in mind that this should be outside of the correct zman, which makes the mincha pasul, which then destroys the efficacy of the mayim, which then lets her go scot-free? Now, this was such an amazing question that Rabbi Yosef Engel, who was one of the great Gedolim of the two generations ago, wrote an entire book in honor of an 80th birthday with 80 answers to this question, and he called it Gvurot Shmonim. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, people used to really care, let me tell you. Isn't that glorious? Okay, we're now ready for our Captain True, who sells the ocean blue and his saucy chips a beauty. He's a loyal man and true and attentive to his duty, which he is about to sing right now. Go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt the solo there.
What do you mean solo? That was just introducing the speaker.
Right.
So, suppose before we erase the Megillah, she says, Enishota. So at that point, Megillata Nignezet, we hide that Megillah. Now the question is, why exactly? Why couldn't we use it for something? Well, we can't use it for another Saita, but I mean, wouldn't we be able to use it like in a school? You know, kids that are learning Parshas Nasai can use all of these old Megillahs of Saitas that refuse to drink, and they can use those as their Chumashim, right? Remember, it's a big shaila whether you're allowed to write a chumash for a kid and so on. We're only matir it because it was necessary for kids to be able to learn. So here's a great opportunity, at least for that parsha, they could learn it. The answer is that if you paskin that the sota, the Megillah Sota, does not include the words v'ishbi'otakohen, like Rabbi Meir holds, so then it's missing those words. Then it's considered to be usher to even keep it in your home because the kids might get the wrong nusach in their learning and never get over it. You can't even use it for that. So basically, you have to be gones it. Now, what about the Korban Mincha? The Korban Mincha, if it was already put into a klisharis, and therefore it has Kedushas Haguf, so then it's mitpazeret al hadesha, where you have to put it on the place in the Azara itself, where we will burn Kachar Psulim, because you can't be paid it any longer, since it has Kedushas Haguf. Now, how about in the event that we would want to use that Megillah, we've got another site, you can't use it. Ein Megillah takshira lashkot pasota acheret, because we darshened the law as meaning that it has to be written for her. And since it was written for her, you can't use it for someone else. Nimchaka ha-Megillah, but what about once the Megillah was already wiped out in the water? So if she says, I am Tmeya, okay, as we pointed out many times, there is no reason, certainly no basis, to be able to force her to drink. On the contrary, the water is useless. So once she says to me, Ani, you just pour the water out. Once again, assuming that we already had, obviously this is going to be dependent on the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. Because, I mean, remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, then it would have to be that the Kohen had done the Mechika before. That was dependent on which of the two Tanoim Alibra Rabbi Akiva that we had right before the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is obviously not going to be able to go according to everybody. Nimchaka Megila. Now, suppose she didn't say I'm Tmeya. She waited until after the Mechikata Megila, and then she said, Eni Shota. Then ma'arinota mashkinota ba'al korcha, as we saw before, we will actually force the water down her throat. And now, in the event that she is a seita and she drinks, einam aspeket lishtot. Okay, this is a question whether einam aspeket lishtot means literally. If she doesn't even finish the water that she has to drink. She just drank some of it. Now, that's not so posh. Remember, we asked before, Bichlal, whether if some of the water spilled out, whether it would be kosher. It's a little bit related to this question. So, I mean, the words Einam Aspeket Lishtot in Hebrew, even though they say, literally, she did not have an opportunity to drink completely, it doesn't necessarily mean that, because we use those words too. Why she barely finished, and already that could mean Einam Aspeket Lishtot, because you know basically you've got to set down the cup, and so it's called Einam Aspeket Lishtot before her symptoms already appear. Now, remember that itself is dependent on whether she has to now go ahead and drink and bring the Korban Mincha, which is the sheet of the Tanakama. So it can't possibly be telling you that immediately before the mincha she dies, because according to the Tanakhama, she drinks and then brings the mincha. So this would have to be going Ali ben Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Akiva. So Einam Aspeket Lishtot, the Gemara is going to go into all of this. At Sheponeo Morikot, she turns white or greenish. Veinea Boltot, her eyes start bulging. Himit Maled Kidin, all of her blood vessels stick out. Then the people that are there, get her out of here, get her out of here. Hotziua, Hotziua is the correct girsa. Shaloti Tamei Azara, we don't want her exploding over here and being Metame the Azara, which Bapashas means that we don't want her to die here. Well, Gemara is going to discuss that, because remember we said before that even a mace was, we Mamash had the sugya, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lakachat Atzmot Yosef Imo, and Imo was Bimachitzato, which is Machane Levia, and that's where she is. She's in Machane Levia because, as we said many times, the inside of Sha'ar Niknor was not Mekudesh. and therefore had the dinim of the Harabayit or the Ezra's Noshim, which is just an extension, the Raisa, of the Harabayit. Im yesh lo schut. Now, if this woman has a schus, and we'll see that this schus has to do with the schus of Torah, and it means that she was Beiser Nefesh to have her husband go to another city to learn, or to bring her children every day to school so that they could learn, whatever the extent of her schus is in terms of Torah, then Aita Tolala, she didn't immediately show these symptoms. And we saw before, it's a question of whether she starts becoming less healthy immediately, but she doesn't die right away, but she gets a gradual decline. That was all the Gemara that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. But anyway, im yesh la zechut. So hayta tola ba. Now, some zechut, some level of zechut could be tola for a year. Some zechut can be tola for 2 years. And there's even a zechut that can be tola for 3 years. We're going to see the basis in the Gemara for this time that we're talking about over here. And there's beautiful Yerushalmi on it as well. Mikan Omer Ben Azai. So Ben Azai said an amazing thing. Well, so then doesn't this mean that you need to educate your daughters so that they understand that the schus could be Taila, the Mehamorim? I mean, look, we said so many times before, Shalolo Hotzi Laz Al Hamayim, right? And that it was very important for us to make certain that the people would not suspect that was the sheet of those who held it. Can't be that schus will be Taila, says Rabbi Shimon, because and you're being motzi laz on the people, and you're saying they weren't really Torah. Remember that whole discussion we had. Therefore, says Ben Azai, it must be that it makes sense for a man to see to it that his daughter is aware of reality. So you see, from here, Chayav Adam Lamed Et Bito Torah, you can't have girls running around who are completely ignorant and superstitious. And then when they see that the Mei Seita doesn't work, they're going to go around saying they know Mei Seita doesn't work. So you obviously have to allow your daughter to be aware of the fact that Im Tishteh, which Papachas means if she herself drinks and she had been an adulteress, which is a very strange thing to say, train your daughter to know that if she wants to commit adultery, that the... Okay, and then she should know that if the mime isn't Beidek, it was not Beidek because she had a big schus of taking her kids to school and doing all the carpools. This is a little bit strange. So, okay, so the Maz brothers, what he means is, in general, that if the mime isn't working, I mean, listen, most of the women know that their friends have been screwing around and they see, uh-oh, why doesn't this water work? Apparently it doesn't work. Well, we want her to know. So I think basically that's the idea. There needs to be a familiarity with the way things work. Otherwise, you get this hocus-pocus, mumbo-jumbo sense among superstitious people, which is a tremendous laz b'chlal on divrei Torah. And therefore, it could die to teach your daughter Torah, that she should understand how to understand these psukim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that's the worst possible thing. You're going to teach her Torah? You're going to teach her to be an adulteress. All you're going to train her is ways that she can figure out, maybe, you know, I can work out a way that I can carry on with this guy and it will be not known, or maybe I can figure out a heter or whatever. I mean, the more she's aware of things, the more dangerous she becomes, and she'll use that to actually do averus.
Isn't the pashtus just that she'll have schut? That in the context of what we're saying, now she'll have schut, so she'll think I have the schut of Torah, so then I'll sleep around and it'll protect me from the Baisu Torah.
The answer is four times no. That is not the shot. It's in that Im Tishteh Teda, what happened, that the schut was Toilola. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer says, not a good idea. Rabbi Yeshua on there, the general idea is that, look, women would much prefer in life to have as much intimacy, as much sex as possible, give them a lower level of living and offer them more intimacy. They'll say, listen, baby, honey, I'd rather have you around than get that big $20 million mansion and make you go all the time into the big city and I don't get to see you except once a week. Forget it. I'd rather have you and live in a tent than the other way around. Tisha kabin, better than 9 kabin of beautiful home and prishut, not be able to have my intimacy. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Yeshua also used to say, that a chassid shoteh, and a rasha arom, and an isha prusha, and makot prushim, this is what destroys the world. Hare elu mevale olam. Now the world, the Gemara is going to go through what these things are, but I mean, the pashtus, the chassid shoteh, all of these things, they're people who use religion to make themselves look good, and are actually total idiots, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, in our times, that's in his time, if you see someone acting like a chassid, there's really no way to avoid suspecting him of being a mental retard. It's unbelievable. That's like in the Hakdama of the Mesillas Yesharim. So, okay. So anyway, but the ultimate chassid shaita, as the Gemara talks about, is the chassid Shaita, who sees a woman drowning and who says, well, what can I do? I am not allowed to touch a woman. She'll have to drown. So he lets her drown. This is a chassid who's an absolute idiot. And I told you this was like a central event in my father's Zatzal life, which is that amazing story as a little kid in Tveria. And he was there in the school. I don't want to repeat the story, but he actually, I will if you want, but you know. It's an amazing is the school.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you the story again. I mean, I feel a little silly, like this old geezer repeating all my. It's really an amazing story. So there he was. He was 8 years old, in the cheder, and the cheder was located Karliner cheder. And the cheder was located in a building that had some homes in the building, and some of the homes were dedicated to the teaching. So, okay, so they were like on a top floor and they were learning, and all of a sudden these horrifying screams that they hear coming from downstairs, and the Rebbe runs out of the cheder, runs, and he tells the kids, don't you dare move out of your seats. You know, a lot of good that's going to do. Anyway, so he runs down, and the kids sit for about 10 seconds. The screams are continuing. Anyway, they finally can't take it. They get out and they run down. They want to go see what's happening. So they come down and they see this horrible sight. This woman had burned to death. Her clothes had caught on fire in her house. And they hear the Rebbe telling the people that were coming in, you know, the people were like, well, what happened? So on. So he hears them telling in Yiddish, so the Rebbe is saying, well, what could I have done? I mean, look, the bottom line is she's a woman. I mean, I couldn't touch her. So he marches out of that cheder and refuses to ever enter into that building again at the age of 8 years old. And it was a disaster because there was no other cheder to send him to. His parents were not living there. They had sent him away to be in Tveria. And he was living with an uncle. And basically, they had to send him to Yerushalayim, where he ended up living with he who ultimately became the Slonim Rebbe. And that was the story. But that's like a real-life chassid shaita. Like, you'd think, oh, come on, there couldn't be such a thing. Yes, there could be such a thing. Okay, so says the Gemara, Amr of Yudam Reshmu Mishum Rebbe Meir. It's a Rabbi Akiva. And I used to learn Torah by Rabbi Akiva. And in those days, remember Rabbi Meir was a famous sofer, a lavlar. And in those days, I used to put kankantum into the ink. We talked about the idea of the kankantum before cupric sulfate, ferrous sulfate. But I used to put it in order that it should always leave the mark in the Sefer Torah, and it's a much stronger ink. And I don't know, Rabbi Akiva knew that I did this, and he thought it was fine. V'lo amar li davar, he never corrected me. But then, when I came to learn by Rabbi Yishmael asked me, "Bini, ma malachtecha?" So, what's your job? I said to him, "I'm a sofer." Amarti olav larani. So he said to me, "Amarli bini, havizoyer, you better be very careful. Shemalachtecha malachet shamayini. What you're doing is like incredibly important for the world. Shema tachsir otechad o tatir otechad." If you take out, you leave out one letter, oh my God, you've basically destroyed the world. Now, what that means is fascinating because, I mean, according to Rashi, it means a misunderstanding of one particular word that could be, in fact, disastrous. However, there's actually the Shita of the Ritva, which is that it brings a raya from here, that if a Sefer Torah is missing anything at all, that one word, then you see from here that that's called the destruction of the whole world, which basically means that that Sefer Torah is definitely puzzle. So he understands that the impact on the world is the impact of a Sefer Torah that is not shalom. Rashi, on the other hand, explains over here that the destruction of the world that we're referring to is the way in which a word, if you leave out one letter or you add in one letter. So let's say in the Pasuk, Hashem Elohim Emet, you leave out an olive. So if you leave out the olive, you're saying God is dead, and then you get paid by Time Magazine for doing the cover, but you end up destroying the world. And suppose you add an extra vav in the Bereshit Bar'u Elohim, the gods created. That's horrific, right? So one letter can change everything. That's a completely different understanding of the impact. I mean, so Rashi's talking about an actual recognizable impact on people's thinking. The other Rishonim, Stam, having Apostle Sefer Torah is a destruction of the world. Atamachriv kal olam kulo. Anyway, so Rabbi Meir gives a very strange response to Rabbi Yishmael, that in which he seems to be talking past him. So Amartilo, well, I told him, you should know, Davar achad yeshli shani matila tochadyo. I've got this certain chemical, which is called kankantom, and I put it into the ink. So what does that have to do with it? That the Gemara is going to ask. So then Rabbi Yishmael said to me, you put kankantom into the ink? V'chi matilim kankantom l'tochadyo? We aren't supposed to put kankantom into the ink, because HaTorah Amra Umacha, and if you need to be able to erase the gilyon that you wrote Parsha Sota on, and the way of writing would be with ink and kankantom, you can never fully erase it, because kankantom leaves an indelible impression in the actual cloth, which means there has to be a ktav shiuchali machot. Therefore, you shouldn't use kankantom. Okay, that's the story the Rebbe Meir says. Now, Gemara says, the story doesn't make any sense because, I mean, there's no connection between Rebbe Meir's response and what it was that Rebbe Yishmael told him. So, what exactly is the conversation over here? So, what Rebbe Meir was saying to him is, you're telling me to be very careful not to leave out a letter, to add a letter. Forget about that. Of course, I am a tremendous bucky in every word in the Torah, and that would never happen. But I'm so mocked on this that I'm even nervous that suppose a fly would land on the wet ink, right? And maybe a fly would come by, so maybe a dalet could be turned into a resh, because if a fly lands on the right side of the top of the dalet and messes up the ink, and it won't be noticeable as a dalet. It'll look like a resh, and then it would be Hashem Elohim Acher. That would be awful, because you would make it a resh. Well, I want you to know, I'm even careful about that, because I've got this chemical that I put in the ink, so that even if a fly would fly off, taking the dyo away, anybody who would look at the letter would see that it was indelibly a dalet. That's how careful I am. So, Dover Achad, Yeshli, Shani, Matila, Tochadio, the Kankantam, Shmo, etc., etc. first of all, there's something wrong with what Shmuel said over here. Shmuel said that Rabbi Meir said that when I was learning by Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything. And then when I came to learn later by Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel set me straight. But that doesn't make any sense, because there's a braita in which Rabbi Meir says, Kishayiti lamei Torah etzel Rabbi Shmuel, is exactly the opposite. When I used to be learning by Rabbi Shmuel, I used to use kan kantom in the ink, and he never said anything. And then when I went to Rabbi Akiva, which is the exact opposite of what Rabbi Shmuel had said, when I went to Rabbi Akiva, he said, I'm not allowed to. So first of all, the history is messed up. Kasha Shimush Hashimush. Which one was first? Was it Rabbi Akiva or was it Rabbi Shmuel? And Kasha Asra Asara. It's also, I mean, the first price said Rabbi Shmuel said it was Asra. Rabbi Akiva said it was Mutter. The second way that we just brought it is just the opposite, that Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said it's fine, and was Rabbi Akiva who says that it wasn't fine. So what's the reality over here? So Bishlam Hashimush Hashimush Lokasha. I mean, we could easily explain the historical conflict here, because it could be that Rabbi Meir went to learn by Rabbi Akiva, and he found that he really did not understand him. And because of that, the halacha is that if a person is learning by someone that he can't understand, that it's better for him to go to a lower level yeshiva, which he can understand, and then as he matures, he can go back. And that's what happened. So given the Lubitz's Matzi Komalibe, he wasn't able to understand fully what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So he moved to learn with Rabbi Shmuel. And then he comes to Rabbi Shmuel and he learns Gemara. Now, Gemara does not mean what we call Gemara. Gemara means the Seder of the Kabbalah of things. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel was very makbid on the Nusach of the Mishnayos, the Brises, and so on. That's Gemara, and taught it to him. What we call Gemara is what the Gemara is calling now, Rabbi Akiva Sovar Sivara. Remember, there was no written Gemara, obviously, at that time. So then, after he got everything straight in the gears of the Mishnayos and so on, he then came to Rabbi Akiva to be sover and to understand things, which is the creation of our Gemara, essentially. So that early creative activity was basically what he did. It's a very interesting thing. Just a fascinating pshat by the Moritz Chias, I got to tell you, is that it's not as if Rabbi Shmuel would run around telling every sofer, be very careful, my boy, because no, this was a special event. Why was there a special event? So as we know, there's a number of very strange reports about the way that Rabbi Meir had in his Sefer Torah, right? So like it says, for instance, in Rabbi Meir's Sefer Torah, it would say not kotnot or with an ayin, but kotnot or with an aleph, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them clothing that was made out of light. Or Rabbi Meir, instead of Tov Ma'od, had Tov Mavet, that death was the best thing that was created. But in any event, so what he says is, obviously that doesn't mean Chas V'Chalila that Rabbi Meir, that Lavler HaGadol had a completely different Sefer Torah and all our Sfarim or Puzzle. It means that Rabbi Meir, remember in those days you weren't allowed to write down Divrei Torah, because it was also to write down Torah She'Bal Peh. So what Rabbi Meir would do is in the Gilayon of his Sefer Torah, where he did his learning, because in those days you learned from the Ksav, only Torah She'Bksav, he would put Simonim on the side that indicated his Drasha. So he would put on the side of the Ayin Vav Resh, Aleph Vav Resh, or in the side of the Mem Aleph Dalet, the Mem Vav Tav. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel was very nervous that with this kind of activity, he's going to train people to have the wrong actual gears in the Sefer Torah. Okay, I didn't really believe it, but it sure is a creative and fascinating way of understanding the story. All right, anyway, so getting back now to the way that we just explained. So the history, we explained away. Shimush HaShimush, not a problem. But what about the Isser that is the contradiction to the Isser? Who held it was Isser? Was it Rabbi Akiva or was it Rabbi Yishmael? So Asara, Asara, that's still Kasha. Says the Gemara, you're right. That's Kasha. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that point. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer haya Rabbi Meir, l'chol matilin kankantam l'tzochatiyo. Rabbi Meir used to say, Lamaisa, there's no problem of putting kankantom into anything but Parsha Saita. Chutz mi parashat sota bilvad, because you have to write that in a way that kankantom would not prevent it from being erased. Meaning, even in the Sefer Torah, Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishma, that's not what he said. He said you can't put kankantom into the Parsha Saita that was going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. But of course you can write a Parsha Saita in the Sefer Torah without this worrying about that, because you're not going to be able to use that, are you? Now this, of course, touches on the original Isser, V'chi matilin kankantom, which according to Tosfos, not here, but Tosfos says in other places where we have this issue, that what Rabbi Yishmael was saying was you don't write any of the Sefer Torah with kankantom. Meaning that he understands there was like a gilui milsa, umochak, to be mochek, that's the ksav of the sota, was an indication of how the gilui yonah, the Sefer Torah, is meant to be written on. That's the point. Okay, so over here, this is obviously not an extension of that psak. So what we're saying is that Alibet Rabbi Meir, the only thing you need to worry about is the drasha, which is the achar, yashkeat aisha, which means that you need a complete and total mechika, and that total mechika, which everybody agreed to, cannot be done if you use kankanton. So then what would be the nafkamina? Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Meir was makvid even on Parsha Saita in a Sefer Torah? So why is that? My binayu. Om Rabbi Yirmiya, that's exactly the question. Can you use a generic Parsha Saita as it is written in the Sefer Torah? Can you use that for a sota or not? So that's the question. If you hold that the asalah means that every aspect has to be done lishma, including the ktiva for this sota, so how can you use a generic parsha sota for this particular sota? Therefore, that's good for the machlokas, that hanitanoi ka hanitanoi. This machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, as to what Rabbi Meir said, was it every Parsha Saita, or was it a Parsha Saita in the Beis HaMikdash? That is basically dependent on the machlokas in this brayta, the Tanya. Ein Megillat Akshira Lashkot Basota Acheret. So the Tanakama says over here, a sota's Megillah is for her and for her only. Cannot be used by any other sota. Like our Mishnah. Rabbi Achai bar Yoshia Omer, Megillata is kosher, lashkot bat sota acheret. So apparently, he doesn't hold that you need lishma. If you don't hold you need lishma, so then you can use a generic parsha sota. That's out of a Sefer Torah directly. Omer of Papa, no, not necessarily. Why are you making these two machlokas in the same? They're not the same at all. Because Atkan lo kama Tanakama, in the Braita that we brought over here, the Tanakama says you can't use a Megillah of written for Saita A, you can't use it for Saita B. But that could be because it was written specifically for another woman. That's not the same as saying that you can't use a generic Sefer Saita that wasn't written for any woman. In other words, you can passel something by using an anti-lishma. Doesn't mean that you can passel something by not specifically making it lishma, right? So how do you jump to that conclusion? The only reason, maybe, I mean, I don't know, but maybe the only reason the Tanakhama said that it's passel is because given the intik l'shum Rachel, l'hadar minatkan l'shum Leah. If it was specifically written for Mrs. Rachel, so how can you use it for Mrs. Leah? But a Sefer Torah, which is not written for anybody, it's written stam. So Torah, the stomach tiva, maybe the Tanakhama would be made it to the way we quoted Rabbi Meir over here. Maybe you would be able to be mochik. I don't know. Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, I can tell you in the other direction that these two machlokas, I agree with what he said, but you can look at it in the opposite direction also. Namely, the Omalori. Maybe Rava, forget about the Tanakama, maybe Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, who said that it doesn't have to be written for this particular woman, is a Megillah. Because at least the Megillah Saita, if it's written for a Saita, is written for this idea that the curses on it are meant to be put into the water and so on. But a Sefer Torah is not, there's no kavana chas v'shalom of cursing anyone when you write the Sefer Torah with the Parsha Saita, the Dialot. That's written to be learned in the Beis HaMedrash and to be understood in L'Agdil Torah V'L'Adir. Maybe you can't use that Parsha as written, not for the purposes of cursing. That's Lehit Lamech Tiva. You can't use that. So no matter how you look at it, in both directions, this makes no sense to compare the two. I don't think the Tanakama would necessarily say it. I don't think Rav Acha would necessarily say it. There's completely different issues involved over here. Wait a minute. This is like a big sugya. I mean, you're telling me Rav Achai Bar Yoshia doesn't hold that if somebody writes a get for his wife, changed his mind, and over there it says v'katav la sefer kritut. Same word that it uses over here, asala, right? Okay, so a guy writes a get for his wife, changes his mind, he's not going to divorce her. Meanwhile, it cost him a lot of money to get this get written. He finds someone who lives in the same city, and therefore the city is still kosher. He has exactly the same name as he has, so the name is kosher. And the name of the wife that this guy wants to divorce is also the same as his wife. So he says to the guy, you know, look, let me save some money over here. We'll buy your get, you know? We'll give you 10 cents to the dollar. And that way I can use this get to divorce my wife. So he says to him, Shmi kishimcha, shemishtika, shemishtecha. It's not going to work. It's puzzle because it says v'katav la. So I don't understand. Rav Achai Bar Yoshia has decided that there's no din of ksiva lishma that he should say over here also? I don't get it. Well, no, it's different. It says v'katav la. That means it has to be lishma. Well, that's what I'm asking you. It says v'asala right over here. Isn't that the point that I'm asking you? Hachanami, it says v'asala. Yeah, but v'asala doesn't necessarily mean v'katavla. V'asala, maybe he's referring to the mechika. The mechika has to be done lishma. Maybe the ketiva per se doesn't have to be lishma. I don't know. So therefore, you can't ask on Rav Acha. Anyway, when the Mishnah says, and she barely finishes drinking when she turns green and her eyes bulge and her veins stick out. Who's this going according to? It's got to be going Alibi to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Tanakhama, it makes no sense. You still have to bring the mincha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, makrivet minchata, and then is mashka. Because, I mean, basically, as long as the mincha wasn't brought, nobody holds that the water's going to work. It doesn't matter what order you're supposed to do it in. But you definitely need the Akravas HaMincha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that you did the Akravas HaMincha, then the Mishnah makes sense. But if you don't hold that, so kokamet lo kovra minchata lo batke lo maya. How do we know? Because it says about the mincha. Minchat zikaron maskeret avon. So that means that it's the mincha per se is what causes the avon to be remembered in the Shemayim that all of this would happen. And therefore, we are going clearly only according to Rabbi Shimon. Wait a minute. It can't be Rabbi Shimon, gentlemen. The Seif of the Mishnah says that if there's a schus, then the schus is Taylor. But remember, we had Rabbi Shimon before, and he says, absolutely not. Ein zechut tola. We're going to have it in the Mishnah later, but we discussed it at length. You cannot believe such a thing. The schus would be Taylor. It would be a disaster. So it's not Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's not Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chisda, it's Rabbi Akiva, but he holds the same thing about the Seder. He just doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon about the Shulis. So it's Rabbi Akiva. The Gomer Makriv et Minchatava Charkach Mashka. But when it comes to the question of whether Shulis is Taylor, he argues with Rabbi Shimon. And over there, he holds like the Chachamim, who say that indeed Zechut is Toila. asked the Gemara, what's everybody panicking about? Get her out, get her out. She shouldn't be Matami de Azara. What's the problem of being Matami de Azara? Now what? Maybe she's going to drop dead. So what's wrong with that? Lamemra de Meta Surba Machana Levia. Then remember, we had that old beautiful limud that a tamei mate is mutterly kanesu machal avia, not only a tamei mate bilvad, even an actual mate. We learned it out from Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought the atzmot Yosef imo b'mechitzato. No, you're right. It's not that we're worried she's going to die, but we're worried because of what's happening to her body, that she's going to suddenly be pores nida in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, and a nida and a zava, so these are usher in the machana levia. So what are you saying? That when somebody gets terrified like this, so then that could cause loosening, hormonal loosening, and she may start to be Roy Adam? Well, absolutely. That's a pasuk, man. It says about Esther HaMalka, Vatit Chal Chal HaMalka Ma'od. Remember we dashed over there, Vatit Chal Chal means that her insides sort of loosened up. V'yomarav, that means she pierced Nida. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. It says in the Mishnah we had that Harada is misaleket amim. If people are in terror, then they do not have to worry. This was a case where a woman was hiding out from the Nazis in a bunker, and it came time for her veset, and she wasn't bodeket. And we say that if for sure she was not Royadam, because the terror of being in that bunker would have made it impossible for her body to have properly functioned hormonally, and she would not have been Rayadam. I'd explain that. Now, there's a tremendous difference. Pachad is tsumit. Be'ituta is marpia. So pachad is this ongoing terror of discovery by the Nazis. That causes hormonal functions to stop. But sudden, be'ituta, something that suddenly like makes you fall apart, that causes you to lose control. And losing control is what would make her be Royadam. Okay, Rabosai, lovely. It's been so much fun. It's wonderful to be with you. May we hear Bisurot Tovot, Yeshuot V'Nechamot, and be Roya and Yeshua's Hashem, Keheref Ayin, in the end of all of our enemies. Kol Tov, everyone.